Welcome to the Gab and Jules show. Merry Christmas to all of you watching, listening. No Gab today because he's on holidays. So Don Hutchinson,
hey,
is with me.
Hey, Jules, man. I've got to say before we start,
yeah,
this is the best you've ever looked.
Ah, thank you.
You look amazing.
Thank
you. Suit you, fit
thank
you.
Thank you so much. For the people who can't see, who are not watching the TV show, this is like a Newcastle zipper top.
Yeah.
Don had in his collection that he's lending me for this show today.
Vintage.
To wear vintage because we're going to talk about Newcastle,
yes,
of course. We're going to talk about Arsenal and the Premier League restarting. We've got a few transfer bids, Cody Gakpo, of course, at Liverpool, the big news. But we felt, Don, that we had to start with Newcastle because they were impressive in their win against Leicester on Boxing Day, because they're second in the table while before City play away at Leeds on Wednesday night. And because they've just been one of the stories of the season.
Unreal, Jules. I mean, I said in comms yesterday, I commentated on the game, and I said, it's almost when you watch Newcastle, they're the perfect team. And what I meant by that was goalkeeper, very, very good, Nick Pope. You look at the giants that they've got at the back. Botman's absolutely rapid. No one beats Dan Burn. Trippier, what a signing. Then you go into midfield and Bruno Guimaraes. So they don't concede any goals.
Yeah.
You can't score against them from set plays. Offensively, they score goals. Joe Linton got a goal from a corner. This is without Wilson, without Isak.
Yeah.
Chris Wood doing a good job. Almiron's playing at the top of his game. People like Joe Willock are the same. So you watch them and they're so confident, Jules, have just gone 6 wins on the spin in the Premier League. I mean, they're flying.
It's so good. It's so good. So now we said the second, because City still have to play against Leeds and they have a game in hand anyway on them. Same with Arsenal. But they've only lost one game, which was that defeat. Remember Liverpool?
Last second.
Like, yeah, 99th minute or something.
Yeah.
They conceded. They drawn six. Maybe some of those games could have been wins.
Yeah.
Some of them might have lost a couple as well. But their win, the win ratio.
The form side.
Is incredible.
I mean, one loss and 16.
Where do you think, why is Eddie Howe's done the best? So he took charge almost a year ago, a little bit more than a year ago when they were bottom of the table.
Which I said last season, he should have got manager of the season, in my opinion, for a manager in the bottom three to take them where they were. I think it's a lot of work on the training ground, improving some good players. Like I mentioned, Joe Willock and Almiron, Joe Linton, etc.
Yeah.
Guys that weren't particularly in good form. So the work that Eddie Howe's done mentally to tell them that they're top professionals and fantastic footballers. Then the signings that have been made. I mean, I love the signing of Kieran Trippier because when they signed him, Jules, the rumours were that there was going to be a release clause in there if Newcastle got relegated.
Yeah.
He said no. He said, don't want that clause. Many players would have that in their contract. He said,
right.
No, he went, I'm here for the fight. And I think that's what set the tone.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, Botman's linked with AC Milan and he wanted to go and play under Maldini. Newcastle got him. So the calibre of player that Newcastle are bringing in is exceptional.
Sure.
You know, many big teams across Europe would want some of their players.
Yeah.
Then the confidence, then Bruno Guimaraes. I still don't know how we've got him, by the way.
I know,
but
man.
What a player.
I know.
And then on Tyneside, you know, St James's Park is rocking. It's a great city. I'm from Newcastle,
so it's
a great city to live in anyway. But when the football's flying, there's no better city than Newcastle.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, yesterday was away at Leicester, but you feel it. You feel it. I can't remember what home game I did this season in the Premier League, and it was incredible. And you could feel the buzz. And
Leeds up next.
Leeds up next, which is going to be special.
Yeah.
And I mean, of course, I did a radio show in France yesterday, and the guy who was with me is a former French international, and he said, like, do you think Newcastle can actually... are in the title race.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, technically they are. Of course they are. Even if there's a bit of a gap with Arsenal and the City there and blah, blah, blah. But
league.
Of course they are. They can't, can they?
Well, I still don't think Leicester won the league in 2015 when they actually won it. I still think someone's going to catch them. And they never did. It was like every week that Leicester can't win the league. January, Leicester can't win February. They can't. Then all of a sudden they've done it. They've got momentum. I mean, it's hard to look past City in the way Arsenal are playing.
Yeah.
But when you're a team like Newcastle and you're playing from week to week and you're winning games every single week and you're hard to beat and the stats are there, as we've just said, one loss in 16 against Liverpool with the last kick of the game.
Yeah.
You know, they are there. They are title contenders. Whether they stay there is another matter. What they do in January, I think, will be interesting.
Yeah.
So while they're in it and while they're sitting in the top four and while they're second, of course they're in it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. There's a big game at Arsenal coming up next week.
Yeah.
That'll
be the test.
Yeah, that would be a big test. You're right. But let's not forget, no European competitions come in February, for example, when City and Arsenal will play Champions League, Europa League, all of that. What do you think, what would be a good January month in terms of transfers? Or would you keep the squad the same?
For now. I mean, it's a difficult one because if you're Eddie Howe, of course you're going to get linked with top players. I think what Eddie Howe wants to do, Jules, I think he wants to look across Europe and bring young players in. There's rumours of Eddie Howe looking at one or two Brazilian players, young lads. So that might be the way to go. Invest in a little bit of youth because it's actually quite a difficult job. If you're in Eddie Howe's shoes now and you're flying and you're sitting second in the league, your football is really, really good. How do you improve that without, you know, losing a little bit of harmony? It's a balancing act, isn't it? If you've got Almiron, who's playing the best football he's played in years, then all of a sudden you bring someone in to play in his position, that's going to knock his confidence.
Yeah, really.
And likewise, right throughout the side. So I don't think you'll do too much to start in 11. It might be a squad thing.
Yeah, and you don't want to like unbalance the dressing room either. It looked like everybody's pretty happy the way it is now and it's working well. Let's not forget that Bruno was injured for 6 weeks or something. Yeah. That's Maxima has missed most of the first half of the season as well. Yeah. So now that Bruno Guimarães is back, and we'll talk about him a bit more on the podcast, and same with Almiron, you would have never thought that at the start of the season, even with the momentum from last season, that we would be at just after Christmas on Boxing Day, talking about them.
No. Someone said to me at the start of the season, being a Newcastle fan, what would you take? And I said top 10, but I meant sort of 8th, 9th, 10th, and to go deep into a cup competition. That's still the dream for Newcastle fans.
Yeah, for sure.
To try and go deep into an FA Cup, go as far as you can, maybe try and get to a semi or a final and win it, because that's what Newcastle need now. The fans need a trophy. But to be sitting second, if they got Champions League football at the end of the season, he should get manager of the year.
Yeah, definitely.
He should have got it last year. But I mean, what a turnaround, incredible. What a season. They've just got to hang in there.
You know, I saw them against City. That was
3-3.
Where I was like, okay, wow. I was so impressed by the energy, the intensity. They matched City everywhere on the pitch. It was one of the best games of the season. But I did think, okay, they were able to play like that on that game.
Yeah, yeah.
And because they just did everything perfect, but they can't keep it up like that. They can't have that consistency of playing that kind of level all the time. The game at Liverpool was a little bit different because, if you remember, Isak scores first and then it looked like they dropped a bit too deep and they were inviting the pressure anyway. But man, when I see them at Leicester, and Leicester were not very good.
No.
And I think they could be in trouble. But the way they like started the game on the front foot, and like you said, everything, they won every challenges, every ball. But they knew, like every time they had the ball in, wherever the ball was, they knew exactly what to do, what the patterns of play was, where to move the ball. It was just so like a City team or like an Arsenal team of this season.
In a different way.
Yeah.
Giants at the back.
Yeah.
Botman's rapid. Bruno Guimarães, I still don't know how we got him, Jules, because he's an unbelievable player. But you're right, the patterns of play, the football that they play, the confidence that they've got, it's something that you can't measure. We've got all the analysis these days and we can look at the data. You can't measure momentum and confidence. And that's what they've got on top of all the ability. This is without Isak, who didn't play. Chris Wood played as a number 9, Wilson. But Eddie Howe's done a lot of work behind the scenes improving the players, working on the grass of the patterns of play, what they need defensively, where they should be.
Yeah.
And you're looking at a side who's flying. I mean, 6 wins on the spin. They're beating everyone. They've got Leeds up next to St. James's. That'll be a brilliant atmosphere. Yeah, yeah. Arsenal, as you said, will be the big test. That'll be the barometer where you go. Because anyone can get up for a City game. Because as pros, you get a Liverpool, you get a Man City, you go, right, the adrenaline's there. You can get up for this one. Yeah. It's then how do you replicate that in the weeks after when you're home and away? So the next immediate test is St. James's Park, beat Leeds. Then you go into the Arsenal game and go, right, that's the test. Yeah. If they can take something off Arsenal, then you go, they've got to be contenders for something.
Yeah,
whether it's top four, whether it's a title, whether it's a trophy, they're in there.
You're right. So to go back on that confidence point, we see with Almiron, because we have to mention him now into more details, in the sense that he's scored like 18-8 or 99, something like that.
Scored something like 2, I think, in 50 games previously.
Incredible. So this was a very good player in MLS before with Atlanta. With a big move to Europe when he was still quite young and a manager, you know, let's not criticize anyone here, but maybe not as good or maybe don't have the same skills that Eddie Howe for sure.
Too pragmatic, some of the managers.
Maybe, And Almiron struggled up to like this season, really. Yeah. How from you as a former player, how do you see that kind of evolution?
Do you know, you need a bit of fortune when you're a player and you sign for a manager. And you need fortune in terms of the manager can sell you the dream. The manager can tell you what they want, but it's a different story once you get through the door. And someone like Steve Bruce is a very, very good manager, but he's very pragmatic.
Yeah.
And he would have, and he did, he want Almiron to do a lot of work back the way.
Yeah.
So maybe in terms of a winger, especially. I think we saw it with Pepe when he signed for Arsenal very early on. Pepe was playing 50, 60 yards away from goal, doing a lot of defensive work. So by the time he got up the pitch, he was absolutely shattered. Yeah. Almiron was the same, doing a lot of work defensively, then trying to use your skills at the top end of the pitch in the Premier League against really good fullbacks. It's difficult. So now he's got a manager in Eddie Howe that says, right, no, we're going to get you on the front foot. I want your position and your average position to be higher up the pitch. I want you fresh for 1v1s. That's what we want. Yeah. That's the positions we need you in. We've got Kieran Trippier behind you. Leave him.
Yeah.
And Trippier's also saying as well, don't come back here. Like, stay up. Like, I'll do all the defensive work. So you need partnerships. You need a manager that's good for you as an individual. And then you need the players on the pitch to back you. So Almiron's a great example. If you're Kieran Trippier, let him fly.
The goal against Leicester. So he comes back inside. And that 1-2 with Bruno, which we've seen them doing before, which... their understanding. I mean, they're players that would speak the same football anyway. Yeah. You know, that's the.
I'd love to have done some analysis. You know, I said it yesterday on comms doing the game. I'd love to do some analysis on the pass that Bruno made, on how many Leicester players he took out with one ball.
It must be three or four, man.
More. I reckon it was about six of them. Like the way to pass.
Oh, it was just perfect.
It was just, and it was, and the best thing about it is he didn't try to overcomplicate it, Bruno.
No.
Didn't try a fancy flick or a little sort of Rabona. He just put the right weight on the pass to take four or five players completely out of the equation.
But you knew that they were going to do that. And like, I'm like, if you're a Leicester defender, once that ball leaves Almiron's foot for the one, the two is going to always come
track
back.
Him.
And yet it's to perfection, really. Because if you foul him, it's a pen, probably a red. And then
maybe Luke Thomas, a young fullback, didn't do his homework.
Yeah.
You know, but you should do. It's quite basic.
I'm a bit surprised, to be fair, that Castagne didn't play on that side.
Maybe.
I know he's right footed.
Yeah.
But just for the experience against Almiron on fire, like maybe the best one, one of the best players in the Premier League right now.
Definitely.
And then he ate him alive. Really.
And then, you know, if you're Newcastle and the travelling fans and you start well and Joe Linton gets the penalty after 90 seconds, then all of a sudden Almiron scores. You're 2-0 up away from home. That sticks Leicester on the back foot and it gives Newcastle so much more confidence.
I know.
Like they need it.
Just a word on Bruno, for you as a former midfielder as well. You said you don't know how you got him. I remember when there were talks about him and I think I said before on the show, last January, what Newcastle did, which was, I think, very clever. It's like, imagine a big fishing net that you throw into the water with a lot of really good players in it, but you don't know what you can get. You might not get any of them. And then you bring the fishing net back to the boat and then, there's a Bruno Guimarães because Lyon opened the door because I think they needed the money.
Yeah.
I think he wanted a new challenge. And you think like, wow, okay. And I remember tweeting the time, Newcastle fans, you don't realize what a gem you're signing right now.
Definitely.
And he was a game changer. And when we look at the reasons why Newcastle are where they are now, for me, Bruno is a big reason.
Huge. Newcastle wouldn't be in second position without Bruno.
Yeah.
For sure. And I think if you remember, Jules, when he came into Newcastle, I think Eddie Howe had to do a lot of man management. Obviously, didn't speak any English. He had to take his time. I think when he didn't start for ages, got 5 minutes at the end, got 2 minutes. Newcastle fans love him and sort of idolise him and wanted him to play more. And Eddie was like, no, take your time. Yeah. Like, he's going to need a you can't just
right.
come. And,
right.
and he took a good... feels like a good month or two.
Yeah, you're right.
And then
completely.
Now you've seen it and you're going, my God, like this guy is midfield players. Go, what he does. It's like he's close to £100 million player.
Yeah, man.
Like, is that influential?
Easily. That was, for me, a bargain and like one of the reasons why Newcastle are up here. So we talked about the next games, Leeds at home, Arsenal away, of course. Then there will be all the bigger tests, City, Liverpool, et cetera. No European competition. How do you see now Newcastle between now, so December 27th, and the end of the season?
I mean, end of the season is a little bit too far to try and see where they're going to finish. But in the immediate, where we are now, I can't see too much change.
Yeah.
Leeds up next at St James's, so that'll be rocking. Leeds fans will bring their 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 fans, so that'll be brilliant. Newcastle will be full of colour, full of noise, full of enthusiasm. The team are flying. So I expect Newcastle to win, which is a great thing to have because not all teams in the Premier League, you go, I fancy them, you know, for sure.
Definitely.
So it's St James's Park. I see another 3 points on the board. That keeps them in second or third. And then you go into the Arsenal game. That's the acid test.
Yeah.
You know, if you can take something off Arsenal, beat them, draw, whatever.
You'd be happy with a draw away Arsenal, right?
Definitely. Yeah. Take a draw now. I think as a Newcastle fan, player, Eddie Howe, if you had a little block of fixtures of two and you said, we take 4 points from the six, beat Leeds, draw at Arsenal, you take it and say, right, let's move on. So that would 4 points would keep Newcastle in the top four.
Yeah.
It would keep them close to Tottenham, closer to Man City, depending on their run. And then it keeps you in the window. That'll be interesting to see what they do, if they do anything. And then you go, right, like, before you know it, it's the end of Jan into Feb. Title race is on.
How do you do not to get this dressing room too carried away? Or even the fans, because...
I would let the fans get carried away. I would let them get carried away. Newcastle fans have been pessimistic for like... No, we have. We've been 10 years. We had Mike Ashley, the chairman, the owner, saying we're not interested in anything apart from fourth bottom. We don't want to win a trophy. Yeah. We're not interested. Sacrifice a trophy. We don't want them. Fans don't want to hear that.
No,
dress rooms don't want to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
So let the Newcastle fans get carried away, because that guarantees a brilliant atmosphere, which players we feed off. So let the home fans, let the away fans get carried away, and then let's see where they finish and let's see what they can do in Jan.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very exciting time if you're in Newcastle.
Definitely. When was the last time Newcastle were in second? It was like Kevin Keegan era.
Yeah, 20 years ago, I think. I read yesterday, 21 years ago or something. Or Sir Bobby Robson maybe had them
maybe
second. Incredible, man. So I wish you all the good luck for 2020.
And you look amazing in this Newcastle tracksuit top, by the way.
I know, man. I'm loving it. Absolutely great.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Right, enough Newcastle done. What about some quick hits?
Yeah, let's do it.
Arsenal turned things around against West Ham with an impressive second half performance to continue the excellent season, Don.
Unbelievable season. Do you know when you look in the Premier League duels over the years and you go, right, Man City, Liverpool over the years, and you go, they'll win. Yeah. I'm getting that feeling out of Arsenal.
Yeah, I had that.
When I watch Arsenal,
I thought they would come back.
Yeah. I just think, every game they play, the majority of the games they play, I think Arsenal win this. They are so impressive, Jules. They're flying, aren't they?
Yeah,
what was it like yesterday? Was it atmospheric?
To be fair, the place was buzzing. Arsene Wenger was there for the first time. He was coming
was
back
nice.
for a game, which was really nice. And then it felt exactly what you said in the stands. It felt like, even in the press box.
Was there no panic?
No. People knew. I mean, they booed at halftime because there was the penalty. It was turnover, which was the right call, by the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just like, oh, okay, we're going to create more in the second half. I think they took a bit of time to find the rhythm again.
Yeah.
Obviously, after the break. But I just saw that second half, man. The way they moved
goal.
The ball. Odegaard was outstanding.
He is some player.
We talked about Bruno before, but Odegaard in a different style. Just everything, the weight, every pass, between the lines, the intelligence, the awareness.
Captain.
She's, yeah.
Like captain. A young captain, like what a leader in his own way. Pressing.
And even Nketiah scoring, you know, he forced, there was a couple of times where he forced it a little bit and you knew, you could tell he wanted really to score.
Yeah.
And then he even got Gordon, I'm just like, wow, okay, they're good, man.
Yeah.
They're good.
But West Ham weren't good. Are you worried about them? Only 4 wins this season?
I am a bit, Don, I have to say. It felt to me that there's a kind of crisis of identity.
Yes.
Some of those players want to keep playing long, what brought them success before.
Yeah.
And others, like I looked at Paqueta yesterday, man, and I was like, man, he signed for the wrong team. If they keep playing like that,
I
felt for him, man.
Do you know what? Watching the game, I actually thought exactly the same thing. I thought, pragmatic manager David Moyes, he's got all this talent to work with.
I don't understand.
He will not play Scamacca and Antonio in the same 11. I know he's not fit at the moment, but he won't. That's a bugbear of West Ham fans.
Yeah.
Got Lanzini, got Bowen.
I know, man.
Got all these brilliant players.
Rama is a good player, but I promise you, sometimes Fabian Silva would get the ball and some of the boys didn't even want him to play short. Or, you know, they were expecting the long ball, hoofing it on Antonio.
Yeah.
And Paqueta was like, should we? Okay.
Yeah.
And then the ball would go again.
But they won't go down.
No, I think there's worse teams than them.
Yeah.
But they just, for me, I was watching yesterday, they should do better than what they're doing.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Liverpool, we start with a win at Aston Villa with some really good moments done and some a bit more shaky, to be fair.
Yeah, defensively still not sound, the amount of chances that they give up. Going forward, though, I mean, Darwin Nunez is a mystery. I mean, they love him. I mean, he's a little bit of a cult hero there. They call him chaos.
I know.
The Liverpool fans, because they love him.
You just never know what is going to happen with him.
But you know what? Listening to the match yesterday and watching the match yesterday, listen to Andy Townsend, who was on comms, and he gave him man of the match. And I understood exactly why he gave him man of the match. And he said, you'll forgive someone like Nunez because he works so hard, because he tries so hard. He never lets his head go down. He does the most unorthodox things. The volley that he tried to take out the clouds completely the wrong skill. Like, just bring it down and slot it in. It's like his chaos. It's like his mind's racing.
Yeah.
It's like once he settles, Jules, he'll be a
young
player.
You know what I mean? I think he's still young.
Can you imagine
well?
Like when you first come to this country, like you're 22, 23, you can't speak no English whatsoever. You know, Erling Haaland's been brought in down the road and he's like a superstar banging in goals. Yeah. You're playing catch up. You get sent off on your debut.
Yeah.
Knocks you back for three games.
Yeah.
He just needs to find a little bit of calm, but he won't because he's chaos.
But this is Liverpool team for you as well. You know, it's just everything is just to be hectic.
And
you
Salah just keeps on going, doesn't he?
Oh my God!
Like one of the most.
What about that Trent outside of the right foot?
And he can't get an England side.
Just for that, I'm just like the guy's a genius. Like I don't know where the debate is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know, it's a non-starter, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they've got a new player on the books coming.
Yeah, Cody Gakpo. This is the big news, obviously, breaking on Monday night. From Liverpool, up to £50 million.
Yeah, 37 down, I think.
Yeah, with all the add-ons. I'm a big fan, I have to say, even if he's 23. So he's not like that kind of young, you know, super talented kid coming through. I think he's had experience at PSV. Maybe it took him a bit of time to get to his kind of best level there, but we saw at the World Cup what he could do. I'm just very excited to see where they're going to play him to start with. The only thing I would say, about the Gakpo deal, is I would have spent that money on a midfielder. And maybe they keep the money for Bellingham in the summer, which is fine, no problem. I hope they get him if that's the case. But right now, I would think, even with the Luis Diaz injury setback.
That's why I think they've signed him.
Okay.
Because he's done his lateral collateral ligament, which is a bad injury, Luis Diaz.
Yeah, it is true.
So you've got that placed on the left-hand side where, all right, Darwin Nunez can play there.
Yeah.
But I think Liverpool's policy over the years, Jules, has been very impressive. And if you go back to people like Mo Salah, Sadio Mane, Firmino, Jota, Nunez, now Gakpo, all under the age of 25 when they signed. So the policy's there.
No, I suspect Firmino is going to leave now. They're not going to give
That's what I mean. So you could allow maybe Firmino to leave in the summer and all of a sudden it's not too much of a wrench. It's not a massive hole. Where if Gakpo didn't come in and you lost Firmino, feel as though with Diaz's injury, you might be a little bit short.
But when
and you get a fantastic player.
Which will happen at some point. Everybody's going to fit. You're going to have Salah, Darwin, Jota, Diaz and Gakpo.
So maybe it's short term. But Liverpool will need short term because they need top
four.
If Luis Diaz is obviously missing, I'm saying with that sort of injury, maybe it's till the end of the season. Yeah, and Gakpo comes in, and I think he'll play on the left hand side. That's his best position, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ready to play as a nine. He gets goals from that side. His trick is drop the shoulder, come inside, so you to make sure he's not predictable. But again, one for the future, one for the now.
If they
get Gakpo in, and he along with others gets Liverpool top four, then that is a very, very cheap 37 million.
Yeah, true, it is. I still expect a midfielder as well now. Once again, Don, it's a terrible first half from Tottenham.
Shock.
Who still managed to get a point away at Brentford.
Shock.
Why do they always do that?
It's the same movie we just keep watching every single week. Jules, the last four games, go back to Bournemouth, 2-0 down. Liverpool, 2-0 down.
Yeah.
When they play Leeds and they won 4-3, they were behind three times in the game. Then yesterday, 2-0 down at Brentford. It's shit. I can't explain it.
But do you think there's a problem with the warm-ups, with the preparation before game?
Like maybe. But I mean, that would be like once, I don't know, every 10 games.
Not every time.
Not every single week. That's not crazy. The last four games you go 2-0 behind.
They were bad that first
so
time.
Bad. It's like, all right, he's a defensive coach, Antonio Conte, but there's no plan. When him and his staff and the players get together and the plan is, let's go 1-0 behind, let's go 2-0 behind, let's do that, because that's a good idea. It's the worst idea in football.
I know.
But somehow they keep... Do you know what? It'll bite them though, Jules.
Yeah.
It'll come to bite them. Like it did against Liverpool.
Yeah.
You go 2-0 behind against a good side, you can't come back and win games.
Yeah.
And if they keep on doing this, they're going to risk top four. Can't go behind 2-0 every single week and say, well, we'll win and we'll be top four.
Completely.
It's absolutely
right.
Impossible.
Harry Kane scoring for his return to football.
I had no doubt.
No. And he always scores on Boxing Day anyway. Yeah. So like, but that header is a great header.
And magnificent. I had no doubt, Jules. I got asked the question, working on the game, how will his mentality be? And I went, not a problem.
I agree with you.
He will be on it. Machine. He'll want to score. He's a machine. He will score. Top pro. Great mentality. He'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Antonio Conte's not fine, though. He's not happy.
No, he's not happy at all by how quickly the Premier League has restarted after the World Cup, after the World Cup final. 8 days, he said it's not enough. So I looked it up. On a normal World Cup, Summer World Cup, the Premier League starts 38 days after the final.
Yeah.
Obviously, this one is very different. Only 8 days.
But everyone's in the same boat.
Exactly. And not every team will have players who played in the World Cup final. I mean, they have Romero and Lloris. So I guess Spurs were well represented in that final. But still, Lloris was on the bench. Romero is still away on holidays and deservedly so. I understand. I get his point.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. There was just no other way. You know, everybody is playing. Like France are playing tomorrow, which they never usually do.
Yeah.
Every other country is going to start again. Unfortunately, it's a Winter World Cup. That's why you
just
have to
get back to work.
I've
seen Kylian Mbappe after the World Cup final go back to PSG something like 3 days later. He wanted to get back to work.
Yeah.
Go back to work.
Exactly. Some would maybe want a break and you can give them a few more days.
Maybe the lads that were in the final, maybe, and especially the Argentinian boys that have won it, they're celebrating a little bit, you know, overboard. Yeah. Good luck to them.
Yeah.
But at some point, come back to work.
I know, man. I'm not sure why he was complaining so much about it. Staying with Spurs and Brentford, Thomas Frank signed a new deal at Brentford and is now under contract until 2027. Well deserved, right?
Deserved. I think he's a clone, I think, of Jurgen Klopp on how, I think he is on how he has the connection, Jules, between fans and players.
I agree.
When you watch Brentford, especially at home, it's a hard place to go and try and get a result. The team spirit there is good. They all work. They all graft. The manager looks like he's from good stock in terms of he's willing to work hard as well. Good tactician. I think well deserved.
Yeah. And also, if you're Brentford and someone comes from Thomas Frank, you're covered. And you'll be like a Graham Potter. Someone will have to pay you a fee.
Yeah.
Because he's still under contract.
But he fits though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I
don't even see him at another club. You know, it's perfect there.
Leave him.
Yeah, exactly. Completely.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Jules, we got more news on the Paul Pogba witchcraft story.
I know you love that story.
I've not even sort of got into it. What is it?
So, obviously, as you remember, or for the people, just a quick reminder, Paul Pogba was accused by his own brother, Matthias, to have used sort of dark magic, if you want, and witchcraft doctors and stuff like that in Paris to put spells on matches, on Kylian Mbappe, on his own teammate, opposition, PSG, when United played there in the Champions League, for example, all that kind of stuff. Paul always said that this was not true.
I was going to say, purely Pogba's gone nonsense.
Yeah, nonsense. The brother said, I've got all the proof, I've got all the audio, I've got everything. So he went to the police, investigations in Italy, in France, everything crazy. Matthias Pogba was in jail for the last few weeks. He's just been released on bail. That's the news. That's the new news, if you want.
Right.
So now he's out. He still can't be in touch with his brother, can't see his brother or anything like that. Not that they would want
to. But surely the quick fix is for the brother to say, here's the audio then.
Yeah, but we're still waiting
for it. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. So I don't think we've heard the end of this. But yeah, I just thought I'd let people know that if you were wondering where Matthias Pogba was, he's out of jail for now. For now, at least. Done. Julen Lopetegui won his first game in charge for Wolverhampton on Boxing Day away at Everton, one of your former clubs.
Yeah.
What a way to do it. And what a bad result for Everton as well.
Shocker for Everton. That's going to put lots of doom and gloom, I think, around Goodison for the next few weeks until they try and climb away. For Lopetegui, it's a great result. I watched the game yesterday and it was a spiky game, Jules. It was loads of yellow cards, loads of fouls. But they look as though it's one game and they won in the last minute of the game. Great goal from Aitnori. So on your travels, first game, you get 3 points. That's a massive lift. It takes you off the bottom of the league, gets you a little bit closer to being at the bottom three. So as results go for building team spirit, when you're on the road and you get a last minute winner, I would imagine him and his staff and the players will be pretty excited over that and what's to come, because he's an intelligent man, good coach. He's going to work hard. Let's see where they go, but they need some new signings in.
Yeah.
They've got one in Cunha.
Yeah. So listen, I understand if you have reservations over him and his goal scoring. I like him a lot, but he's never scored many, many goals. Well, no. Certainly not.
But for Wolves, when you can't score, it makes sense, yeah?
And right now they need a goal scorer, right?
Yes.
Because Jimenez is clearly out of confidence and in a way out of shape. But I want to see him there because I think there's a real good player in there and he will fight and he will run a lot and he will bring that kind of energy too. And if he can get a bit more clinical than what we saw, a bit like what he was in Germany to a certain extent, but he was never a lethal number nine anyway.
No, he's not prolific, is he?
No, exactly. But I think he's capable of scoring. So let's see how he does for them. But you know, you win, you get new faces, you get a new signing. The place is a bit like, buzzing.
Sometimes that's what the dressing room needs. It needs a new face to come in.
Exactly. So we'll have to see. Southampton lose their first home game under Nathan Jones, their new manager, and to Brighton and De Zerbi as well.
De Zerbi's impressive. He's impressed me wherever he's been. I've seen some of his Italian sides and he's always left the majority of teams that he's been in charge with in a better place.
Yeah.
And it took him a little bit of while. I thought the performances when he first took over were good. The wins weren't coming. But now you're starting to see his philosophy. A little bit like Graham Potter, actually. There's not too much different between the two. So not a lot of change for the players. But I think Nathan Jones has got it all on, you know.
Yeah.
He's got a young team with. I think Ralph Hasenhüttl, in my opinion, was a very, very underrated manager.
Yeah,
and his Southampton team were flirting with relegation. And over the years, he steered them away from that. I think this is one of the years, Jules, where I think Southampton might be in trouble.
I think
young
so
team,
too,
you know. Inexperienced.
Like the first goal, Bazunu, saved that. I mean, I love Solly March and Lallana. What lovely players to watch.
I mean, Solly March's goal. I heard him on the radio saying yesterday, someone said, like, why don't you score more? He went, I need to shoot more. Because what a finish it was, wasn't it?
Oh, man, lovely.
He is some player.
Yeah.
Jules, Brazil are looking for a new manager.
Yeah.
Zidane?
Oh, man, I mean, they want someone who's free. Like, they don't want to pay off a club to get the new head coach in. They don't want a foreigner. They want a big name, I think. I mean, if you come after Chichi, you can't, you know, just be Julien Laurence. I mean, even you to such an extent. So I get that. And if you're Zidane, surely you'd be tempted by Brazil. I mean, who would not be tempted by Brazil?
I mean, he's got some options, isn't he? I mean, is he waiting for France, though, do you think?
I think he's waiting
for that call first?
But he knows that Deschamps is going to extend now at least to the Euros in Germany in 2024.
Right.
So that's another 18 months to wait. But then if you take the Brazil job, this is at least a 4-year, you know, it's the next Copa America and then the World Cup in the US and in Mexico and Canada.
Yeah.
So 4 years, it's just like, you can't just take it and wait for France to be ready. So I don't know. I don't know if really they come in and say, like, listen, this is what we're offering you.
I mean, it's sexy, isn't it? Zidane. Brazil manager.
Oh, my God, imagine.
I sold it to you.
Yeah, man. It would be made for it kind of thing. You know, like, I don't know. It'd be crazy. It'd be crazy. Another impressive win, Don, and performance from Fulham. And this time away at Crystal Palace.
What a win. I mean, Palace down to 9 men.
Yeah, true.
A couple of crazy red cards in there. But he's done a great job, Marco Silva, hasn't he? For a manager that's went through a bit of trauma over the years, getting sacked at different places in the Premier League, didn't do a particularly good job at Everton, struggled really badly.
Yeah.
But he's found his feet, got good players to work with. He's done well in the transfer window. Another team that are playing with loads of confidence.
Oh, man, they had 71% of the ball in the first half hour.
Unbelievable.
It was
Tim Ream scored the goal of his life.
I know.
Like, he's never, I think his first goal for Fulham, but like the best one he's scored in his lifetime.
I know. Incredible.
Yeah,
it was
flying.
But again, we go back to the confidence thing we were talking about Newcastle and other, you know, and other teams. When you are so high on confidence, you go to even an away game like Crystal Palace where it's not easy to go, and you think, like, you know what, we're going to play our game and we're going to go and win that.
Yeah,
it's really flying.
So Chelsea linked with Benoit Badiachile.
Nice pronunciation.
Yeah,
I'm impressed.
Man. Good player.
Yeah, I mean, they started talking with Monaco for him. He's a centre-back, left-footed, still young, only 21 years old or 20 years old. Very raw, and he made his debut with France in September.
So a squad player then?
He made mistakes. You could tell he was just maybe not ready yet for the big jump between Monaco and Ligue 1 to the top level, which I think Chelsea are, even if they're struggling right now. So I can understand the signing. I'm a bit like, that's not where I would have spent my money right now if I was the Chelsea owner or all the sporting directors that they signed.
It seems there's more important areas to fix.
I think so.
Rather than that, when you've got the likes of Cucurella who can play there.
True, exactly. And you already have Koulibaly and Thiago Silva and Chalobah and, you know, all the centre backs. But he's left footed, which they only have Cucurella as.
Yeah.
And he's not really a centre back either. And why not? And they like this youth come in and, you know, buying. It would cost around £35 million, so it's a decent amount.
That's meant to be the new philosophy now at Chelsea, isn't it? Exactly. Buying young players.
Yeah, I'm just, this is Chelsea Football Club though. Yeah.
Even though they've had about 50 loan players over the years
I know, let's see. But if for Monaco it makes sense because his contract expires soon, and they've always said to him, we'll open the door if a big club comes for you, and that's their business model anyway. Yeah. But yeah, let's see about this one. N'Golo Kanté, if we stick with Chelsea, Don, N'Golo Kanté will be out until the end of February. We know that now. It's a long time, and Chelsea could really do with him now.
Yeah, massive miss, isn't he? What a player. I mean, over the years, I mean, you know, he's just so good, isn't he, that can play multiple positions.
Yeah.
I was always surprised that he got shifted out that holding midfield role. I thought he was the best in the world and probably was when he was fit. And I think different managers saw a different role in him. Frank was missing. He wanted to play as a sort of an eight where he could do a lot more pressing higher up the pitch. I get that. But he's going to be a massive miss, isn't he? Because it's like having two players in the middle of the park. When you've got all that talent and all that you know, type of players in the number 10s position, wide players that can express themselves, you need someone like Kanté.
Definitely, yeah. Would you give him a new contract? Is that contract
I would.
In the summer?
It depends on what the injury is and how many he's had, because he's had quite a few little niggles, hasn't he, over the years?
So that's 2 years.
Is he getting to the age now where he's picking up those type of injuries? Graham Potter might want a different style. He might want, you know, he might want to bring the average age down a little bit. But I mean, his signings go, if you did allow him to leave, you'd have to spend an awful lot of money to try and replace him.
I agree.
Because he's that good.
Yeah, I agree.
Portugal looking for a new head coach.
Yeah. And the boys talked about that in the show before Christmas, Gab and Robo.
This episode is brought to you by AutoTrader. Credit scores, down payments, interest rates. Car buying can be a numbers game, but you don't have to be a math expert to get the keys to your dream car. Just use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. You can crunch the numbers so you know exactly how much you'll pay each month for your car. So leave the calculator at home. Visit AutoTrader.com to learn more.
About Jose Mourinho, who's still the name mentioned now to replace Fernando Santos, we were a bit surprised at the time. In a way, I'm still surprised that they're so focused on him and just is him, considering how many great managers they are in Portugal. But maybe that's why he wants now.
Can I chuck a curveball in?
Go on.
Ronaldo.
Imagine
player
that.
Player coach, player manager.
Imagine. No way.
It's all about me.
Oh, my God. Like, first name on the team sheet, Cristiano Ronaldo, number 7.
Free kicks.
That would be fun.
Ronaldo. Corners, Ronaldo. Come on, make it happen.
I would want to see Jose as a Portugal head coach. I think he would be a great head coach, like national team head coach.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's doing a decent job at Roma. I think decent is the right word here.
Yes.
And you know, as you commentate a lot on Serie A.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he would want to give up the like club environment, managing.
The day to day.
Yeah, to the national team.
That's where
team,
he sort of thrives, doesn't he?
Yeah. I don't know, but there must be something in those rumours if the names keep coming back and coming back.
Well, why not really? I mean, he's a top coach out.
Yeah, definitely, man. It'd be very interesting, I think. And going back to Arsenal briefly, Don, Mikhailo Mudryk appears to be top of their list. Of course, the Shakhtar Donetsk winger.
Player.
Where would he fit? Would you think it would be a good signing? And where do you think he fit? We believe that they made a first offer yesterday for him, 40 plus 20.
Yeah. The only position I see him playing in is the one that he plays for Shakhtar and Ukraine, which is off the left-hand side. Because this guy, I'm not saying he's anywhere near Mbappe in terms of the talent, but as pace goes, he is up there. He's one of the quickest flying machines I've ever seen. I've been fortunate to commentate on quite a few Ukraine games over the last 18 months, quite a few in the Champions League when he's starting. He likes to face goal because he's not ready to be a number 9 yet. So I know that's the contradiction, because Arsenal, if they want to sign anyone, want to sign a number 9 because of Jesus' injury.
Yeah, yeah.
But Nketiah could do that.
Yeah, or Martinelli even. You can move Martinelli.
Exactly. So unless he comes in and plays off the left-hand side and forces Martinelli in one. But in terms of flying machines, Arsenal fans would love him. Yeah. He's so direct. He's so quick. He's got loads of skill. Yeah. A little bit raw. Like every time he tries to take someone on, it won't come off every single time.
No, that's right.
But he's one of them where literally you could go back 30 years and say to him, kick it and run after it. He's the fastest thing on two legs.
But that's the
he's
thing.
One of them.
He's going to fit him. Seems like we saw with West Ham yesterday where it's 11 men behind the ball. There's not that space to run into for him. So this way, for me, this way he will have to adapt and adjust, and Arteta will have to work on him.
When Ukraine played Scotland at Hampden, I'm pretty sure Scotland defended really, really deep.
Yeah.
And he was starring. He didn't play well in the game.
I agree.
Like, if a scout was watching him against Scotland in that game, it's because they were defensively deep, that low block, and he had no room to run in behind. So teams might figure him out personally on how to try and stop him. But if you're Arsenal and you're Mikel Arteta and you want someone in that you can polish that diamond.
You can polish it
and make it into a diamond because all the tools are there. All the attributes are there. And what you can't add to anyone's game is pace.
Yeah.
He's got it.
Yeah.
Wonderful
player. You're right.
I
would like that to happen to me.
Yeah. Especially in the Premier League, it'd be interesting to see how he gets on.
It'd be great.
Al Nassr. Pushing for Ronaldo.
What? You don't like this, do you?
I don't like this.
You don't like it? What? You don't like that he would be ready to accept that?
I just find it a great shame. I just find it a great shame that we're talking about one of the best players of all time. Yeah. Good luck to him, by the way. If he wants to go and make 200 million a year, good luck to him. He's earned it. His family have earned it. And good luck to him. I feel it a shame. I want to see him still carry on in Europe.
I know.
The baggage is there. Who actually wants him? Can he not just play for the money anymore and say, well, I'll play for someone for 100 grand a week or 50 grand a week. He's got hundreds of millions in the bank. Even, I think the fairy tale story for him, because he's had a little bit of trauma in his life. His family have went through a little bit of trauma
last year.
You've earned all the money. You've played for some of the biggest teams. Go and play in the MLS. Go and live in Los Angeles. Go and live in Miami, wherever you want to play. Go and enjoy your life.
Even Sporting, even going back to Sporting or something.
I don't know.
Like
it just
Portugal,
feels,
you know.
It just feels like you're going for money.
He doesn't.
Because he is, isn't he?
Yeah.
There's no other reason around it.
Definitely. I mean, don't give me the Sporting project. No. I want to win the Asian Champions League or the. Like, come on.
I don't know. Do you? Am I?
No, I'm with you completely. I find it really sad. I find it really, really sad. I find it sad that no one wants him. And now we're hearing that.
He killed himself with the interview, didn't he? That's killed him because any managers, you know, who fancied, well, I'll take Ronaldo on 20 goals a season.
Yeah.
I'll make it work. I'll take the baggage. Now you're looking thinking, I'm not taking that headache.
And you saw the World Cup, he got dropped. He got a bit sulky as well. Yeah. Didn't happen for him. Yeah. All that kind of stuff. Yeah. Now, if you're a club that, you know, I mean, even Frankfurt, they offered him to Frankfurt. And even Frankfurt, like, nah, we're happy with Colomwani.
It's sad, isn't it?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, at least he was happy with his Christmas present. I don't know if you saw that, but his girlfriend or his wife, maybe she's wife or his girlfriend, Georgina, got him the brand new Rolls Royce.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he already has 17 cars, so that's the 18th one.
Yeah.
I mean, you already
needed that. What car should drive? Just play for the love of the game, man.
I don't need
the money.
I know. Well, I mean, talking about you. Cristiano and his former club Manchester United have extended the deals of Marcus Rashford, Diogo Dalot, Fred and Luke Shaw with an extra year on their contract. They basically triggered the extra contract. It makes sense to you, Don. Whether they really want to keep him or not, at least you protect them and you can think about, you know, a better deal for Dalot, a better deal for Rashford.
For sure.
At least they're not out of contract, you know, in the following summer or something.
For sure, don't lose them on a free.
Yeah,
De Gea's the interesting one. How they've not renewed his. I think he's got a season to go on his contract, so that's the interesting one. That's could be a talking point one to keep an eye on. But in terms of renewing the contracts of those players, I think makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Completely.
And the legend, Ranieri, back in the game at Cagliari.
Yeah. 71 years now.
Wow.
Obviously, since he was sacked by Watford, remember he had those 4 months
Who hasn't been sacked by Watford?
True. He'd not been working in Cagliari, who are in Serie B, trying to go back up, where he managed 35 years ago, something like 31 years ago. He got them promoted at the time from Serie C to Serie A, 88 and up to 1990, 1991. Yeah. So we say it's never good to go back to your ex, obviously. But maybe after 30 years, you can go back to your ex.
Can you forgive your ex after 30 years?
We'll see. I mean, if he brings them back up to the Serie A,
do you know what?
I love him so much.
But it's like the Ronaldo conversation. He's not doing it for the money. Is no, he Ranieri? Exactly. He's not doing it for, he's doing it because he loves the game.
Exactly, yeah.
And he wants to help.
Yeah, at 71. That's I think that's brilliant.
It's a brilliant story.
Signed a 2.5-year deal. So good luck to Claudio. He knows we love him. So it's good. Don, it's the first time that you're on the show since the World Cup final and the World Cup in general. So I just wanted to ask you where you stand on Emi Martinez antics in that final.
Right. So what are we talking here? Are we talking antics in the final, as in throwing the ball away?
Yeah, the penalty shooter.
Fine, do what you want.
You don't mind him doing that?
Don't mind it.
All the trash talking,
no,
all the mangas.
No, because you, as a Frenchman, would be happy if Lloris was chucking the ball away and you were causing mayhem.
But it's not very classy, though.
I don't care.
Okay, fair enough. That's fair enough.
What's not classy is the aftermath stuff.
Yeah.
Having pictures of Kylian Mbappe on a little 10 World Cup on the bus.
The trophy, the best goalkeeper.
Four goals against you.
Yeah.
You can't mock Kylian Mbappe. Yeah. That's the stuff that's infuriating me and I can't stand.
Yeah.
The stuff on the pitch and, you know, all right, there's a limit on where you, what you can do and what you can't do. But if you're getting the job done, mate, and you're winning the World Cup, do what you like.
Yeah.
Aftermath. Okay. Leave Mbappe alone. Because there's every chance the next time you play him, he's going to score another four against you. He's going to make you look silly.
Yeah.
That a bit, I think all of that was complete nonsense over the top afterwards.
I see what you mean. I can understand the debate, though. I can understand people minded what he did in the penalty shootout. Others didn't.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine.
And Blaise Matuidi. What a legend. What a career. He's retiring.
I know. I mean, we knew he was coming, to be fair, Don, because since his contract expired, they finished his contract at Inter Miami. We kind of knew that his age, it was probably the end, although maybe they could have gone back to Ligue 1, for example. That would have been lovely. Yeah. But yeah, he was coming. What a great...
Underrated,
Oh, completely. I mean, we talked about Kante before. He was not as good as Kante in terms of recovering the ball, but just the energy, the running, how unselfish he was, playing for the team. 2018 World Cup, of course, was his peak and highlight in that kind of hybrid role of playing midfield. Such a lovely guy as well. And obviously one of the best stories that of Blaise Matuidi that I know him quite well now. But one year, it was his wife's birthday, clearly, and he had forgotten, but he wanted to put a little message out on social media.
So the story's good. The story's good he's forgot the birthday. That's a good story
As you know, obviously, with our missus. But then he went on to Google and Googled Blaise Matuidi's wife, right, for a photo of her.
Right.
But then posted it. So we could see that he looked up his wife on Google. I know, man. We got to love Blaise, you know. He's just such a lovely guy. And good luck for his new life now.
Exactly.
When you retire,
good luck to him.
Different new
Stay life, in so. The game. Stay in it. Too much to offer.
The great George Cohen, who won the World Cup, obviously, with England in 1966, passed away earlier this week, Don, and a fitting tribute was paid to him all around the country.
So sad, mate, isn't it? We're getting to that age. You're not, because you can play the youth card, but I'm getting to that age now where I'm seeing the older guys all getting to an age. And it's tragic, isn't it? Yeah. It's sad for his family, but the football world come together as they normally do, Jules, fitting tribute. And I think we wish him all the very best, and him and his family from ESPN, didn't
we? One club man at Fulham, you know, where he grew up and played the academy, the first team, all of that. Great right back as well.
Meant to be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I never obviously saw him, but from what you could read and everything.
We wish his family well, didn't we?
Yeah, completely.
And another one, Pelé seems to be struggling, Jules.
Yeah.
It's quite worrying, isn't it? Because we're getting the news in and it's like...
Exactly. Still in the hospital, Don. I think we should send him, we said it before with Gab on the show, send him a lot of love.
Definitely.
And a lot of prayers to a Ray, because it's a difficult time. He's obviously old and getting weaker and weaker from what we hear and the report from coming out from Brazil. So let's just have...
For all the younger fans, when they talk about Messi being the greatest of all time and people like Maradona, who I'm hanging on to, Pelé will still be in the conversation in another 100 years' time.
Incredible, man.
Three times World Cup winner.
Yeah, so let's hope he stays with us a bit longer, So Pelé, you've got all our love, everything. Don, thank you so much, man.
Brilliant, mate.
It was a pleasure.
And you look amazing in that top, I'm telling you.
Man, I'm already again in the next show, you know. Beautiful. And thank you for listening. Thank you for watching, of course. We'll be back on Thursday for the next edition of the Gab and Jules show. Until then, as Gab always say, love your neighbor, love the game, love yourself, or something.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.